Death is one of the few sure things in life, but few of us talk through how we want our final days to go or who we want to help us through them. Formalizing those things in an advanced directive may be easier and more important than you think. Vermont Public's Nina Keck shares some tips on how to get started.
Many of us hope we'll just slip away in our sleep, but Dr. Amy Gennari, an associate professor at the University of Vermont Health Network and interim chief of geriatrics, says typically the body fights dying, and palliative or comfort care needs to be aggressive.
It is very intensive. It is lots of medications sometimes. It is mixing and matching medications. It is getting the right environment. And so that's why the advanced directive is really important, because we want to intervene. I mean, especially as geriatricians and palliative care doctors, this is what we do. We try to help people have a good, peaceful death.
But data shows 2 out of 3 Americans don't have an advanced directive.
The number of families that I see struggling when someone has a sudden illness, especially when it's critical and they're in the intensive care unit on machines, and there's never been a conversation, there's nothing in writing, and they have no idea what to do, the burden of those decisions is huge.
Eva Zivitz is a registered nurse who coordinates the palliative care program at Rutland Regional Medical Center. Part of her job is helping people with advanced directives and navigating end-of-life issues. If this is a conversation you've been avoiding, here are some tips on how to get started. First, and this may surprise you, it's not just something older people need to think about. Serious injuries and illness can happen to anyone.
In general, I feel that anybody over the age of 18 should consider at least identifying a person that they would trust to speak for them if something were to happen and they were in a position where they couldn't speak for themselves.
Experts say choosing an advocate is the most important part of this whole process. And Zivitz says it doesn't have to be a family member.
What you're really looking for is someone who knows you well and someone who's willing to advocate for what you yourself want, even if it differs from their own personal beliefs.
Don't assume that whomever you choose will just know what you want. Zivitz says if you ask someone or are asked yourself to be a healthcare agent, sit down together and talk.
When I'm asked, I want to have a conversation with the person first. Let's talk about what your thoughts are. Let me know what's going on with your health and what are you thinking your wishes might be, so that then I can feel comfortable knowing I can advocate for you well.
Not sure how to start this conversation? Try this.
I was thinking about what happened to Aunt Jessie, and it made me realize some things.
Even though I'm okay right now, I'm worried that something may come up and I want to be prepared. Can we talk about some things that matter to me?
I need to think about the future. Will you help me?
The conversation is the important thing, however you broach it. Once you've got a healthcare agent and a backup, you can move on to step 2.
The rest of an advance directive, whether you call it a living will or use another type of form with a different name, is just a way of guiding that person, putting something in writing to help the person who's making decisions have something to rely on if they have to make decisions for you.
Every state handles advance directives a bit differently. In Vermont, you don't need a lawyer, a notarized signature, or an official form. You can write your advance directive on the back of a napkin if you want to. Just make sure you include your agent's contact information and sign it in the presence of 2 witnesses who are not family members and not your agent. Once you do that, it's a legal document. Experts say going over the forms with your doctor is a good idea, as they can talk over different medical scenarios that may come up. For instance, Amy Gennari says some of her patients have told her it's important that they die at home. Others have told her that for religious reasons, they don't want any medications, nothing. Others have told her they want everything and to be kept alive at all costs. Gennari says it's all about figuring out what living means to you.
What matters most to me in life? What matters most in terms of, you know, my happiness, my interactions with others? What is it that matters most to me? And where would I draw the line of saying, wow, if I didn't have the ability to do X, then life really wouldn't be worth living, and I'd want to be focusing more on just keeping myself comfortable and getting ready for the dying process.
Once you've chosen an agent and filled out your forms, make several copies. Keep the original and give a copy to your agent and one to family or friends included in the process. Your primary care doctor should get a copy and mail a copy to your local hospital so they can upload it into their electronic medical record. You should also register your advance directive with the state. It's a free process, and we have information on how to do that on our website. And don't forget to revisit this issue every 5 years or so, because your wishes and your advocate may change. For Vermont Public, I'm Nina Kack.